7 p.m. I'll call a meeting to order. Could we have a roll call? Rochelle, go ahead and start.
Rochelle James, Albany Police.
Marsha Herndon, Albany Police.
Kevin Crichton. Kevin
Brennan.
Chris Lowell, Albany Fire. Eric Anderson.
Eric Brown.
Cynthia Green. Thank you. The next on the agenda is approval of the June 5th meeting minutes. Are there any changes or corrections that need to be made? Hearing none, so ordered. Department reports. Marcia.
Good evening, everybody. You should have a handout in front of you. It will refer from your shift the last page, which is new. So we're going to track that for a little bit. But overall, even though our really, really serious like homicide type stuff has diminished quite a bit, we're unfortunately making up for it in other areas. So for the year, we're just up about 15%. But again, these numbers are so low overall that even the slightest change might skew those. Our property crime is down a little bit, but going into the fourth quarter, I do not expect that to hold. That would be atypical. Where you're going to see a significant increase is in the society ones, and that's because of the change in the drug law. And I'll talk about that on the back page. But as soon as that switch got thrown, September 1st, we started citing people. And I'll talk to you about what the different counties are doing with those citations. We also are seeing a little bit more widespread livability issues because of the closure of Marvin's Gardens. We knew that was not, people just wouldn't leave town. There's a ripple effect that will spread out. Some have left town. We're kind of tracking kind of where everybody went. So far so good. The actual closure, just to touch on that, went as smooth as it possibly could. We had great partnerships with Chance, Helping Hands, Jackson Street, and our veterans group and everything else. And so that went really smoothly. We made no arrests, anything like that. That lot is now closed and fenced off. It will be sanitized by the Public Works Department at some point. I don't know the schedule for that. And then the city will dispose of the properties. And our fire partners were there as well. We had the community paramedic and we had an 8-car standing by for a while, but then they decided to go do something else. So what's a little bit concerning is that our calls for service are starting to creep up a little bit. And just listening to the radio during the day, we are really busy. I'm sure Chris said the same thing. We are really busy. Our new trend is to crash control cars. So that's causing some expense to us at the moment. Some of it our fault, some of it not our fault, but in getting anything fixed is still a problem. So that's causing an arch, which will be nice. So any questions on the first page? Okay, on the second page, some good, really good news here. I don't think we can take credit for, oh my gosh, people are waking up to the dangers of fentanyl. There's a lot of things driving down overdose numbers, and it's happening statewide. One, there's exponentially more Narcan out there. And so what we're seeing is that between the counties and harm reduction groups and outreach groups and us, we're seeing much more Narcan out there. And the hardcore users are having access to it. So when ODs do occur, they're not calling us. They're just bringing themselves out of it. They don't very, very often do not want to go to the hospital. We bring them out of it on a Narcan, either whether we do it or fire does it, they don't want to be transported because one, we just ruin their high, and two, coming down off of fentanyl is about the worst. You want to die. It's not a fun experience. So good overall. We're losing way less people than we did last year, about 50% of where we were all of last year. So that is good. And that's true mostly of the county. The county is still pretty doing some little bit of rough areas in some respects with their deaths. I don't know if they'll get surpassed what they had last year, but the overall calls are down. But there's not as many resources out in the rural parts of the county. Any questions on that?
So, Chief, I'm sorry, I know that we've covered this before, but those Narcan numbers are both fire and police, or those are only police?
Only us. Okay. Yeah.
And but what you're saying is it doesn't include standard administered or self administered?
We do have a separate category for that, but these are our usage of it. And with fentanyl, you're talking 2 or 3 doses. So each one, we may have one overdose call, or using 3 doses of Narcan.
I see. So that's not calls or support.
That's it.
How many doses?
Yep. They are still happening. We just actually had one over here about a block from here a couple days ago. So. Down to hires, there's a lot of good news. You'll see a 0 there for police officers. We're actually +1. So Peter Trotson is awesome. He lets me overhire for positions. So our culture is such that people feel enough trust that they'll notify a year in advance that they're leaving. And they'll commit to a date. Like, for instance, Jen Williams put in her notice pretty much a year out. And so that allows the city to open the position, which we'll do this month, and allow us to overhire for that position. Plus, we just won a DUI grant position. So that's a FTE for 3 years. It's an escalating match that we have to come up with, but my intention is to keep that position. So we'll hire for that as well. But right now, we're 1 over for police officers. So we have 0 pending police officer hires. We still have 3 dispatchers that have to make their way through background. One just made it through background. We're just finishing the psych and medical. And then those 2 clerk positions will start in 2 weeks. So we're, as a department, looking very good. Dispatch is a national problem. Any dispatch center in the country that's worth their size, I'd be shocked if they're fully staffed. Down at Central Lane Communications, them down there working on a project, they're about 60% staffed. That's bad. So we're down 4 out of 12, which is not great, but we also are a little bit slower than those other places. Where this is significant too is, as Kevin pointed out when he came in, we just won a Oregon Workplaces Best Workplaces Award. They're only government entity to get the award, and we worked hard for a way to go jump through some hoops, but we knew we had a good shot at it. We do an annual survey as part of our strategic plan. I'll come back and talk about early next year when we have new members, where we do an annual survey of a set number of questions, and we've tracked it since 2020. And we have some really good results. We have about, for those of you who've taken workplace surveys before, generally good participation's about 40 to 50%. We get about 85% participation.
Wow.
And 99% of the answers are, it's a great place to work. So that tells me we're doing something right. So a huge credit to all the folks there. And that's allowed us to stay ahead of hiring. We're going to monitor as we come build our budget to see, you know, just make sure everything's stable for the budget. As we might just hold a couple of positions or not fill them right away kind of thing. So our budget build starts in, start about this time of year. We don't usually get our numbers until January, February. And personally, I'll pretty much tell you that we don't really know how much money we have right now. So that's a whole other story. We're doing okay. We just don't have exact numbers. So was that fine with you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, on the last page, this is a new one I added. It's kind of hard to read, but I want to give you a snapshot and certainly bring back more numbers. These are, since we turned on the misdemeanor switch for drug possession again, and since September 1st, we've made 34 citations. You'll see on the very first page, it says drug crimes 38. Those additional ones have to do with the Lion Task Force. So they're bigger ones. The last page is only that you got meth in your pocket, you got caught with fentanyl, you know, that kind of thing. So And you can certainly tell there's a certain area of town where we spend a lot of time. And that is usually where that's actually very central to where most of our calls are overall. Our theft calls, things like that are pretty significant. So we are tracking that. What happens now, even though both counties have engaged or said to the state they will have a deflection program, which is basically a diversion program, the way they're going to set it up. So the officer contacts you and arrests you for possession of methamphetamine, whatever. They give you a court date. That case goes to either the Linn County District Attorney or Benton County District Attorney. And then they have a system set up. Right now, they're trying to just use basic court diversion to work on these cases. But they'll have, as the program designers have talked about, they're called off-ramps. So if this is your first time ever being arrested for possession, you have no other criminal history, you're probably not going to jail on this. Where it happens is the people who continually fall out of the system and result in what's called an FTA status or failure to appear status, then that's an additional charge in Oregon, and that's where you start going to jail. That allows the criminal justice system to deal with the people that are not interested in getting help. And that's the intent of recriminalization, is it puts criminal justice pressure on people to get into drug programs and get some help. If they don't, then down the road, there's criminal sanctions. And that's kind of how both counties will design it. Linn County is hoping to be up and running in January. We'll see if that happens. They only got 500,000. And Benton County is going to wait until their crisis resource center is open, which will probably be second or third quarter in 25. So,
Is that the new construction?
Yeah, they're building a new crisis response center. It's actually a crisis response center. And that they're going to try to time that around that. So,
what is it?
I'm sorry?
Where is that?
It's downtown. I don't know exactly where it's at. Yeah, I don't. It's across near. Is it? Yeah. I knew it was downtown somewhere, but I haven't paid that close attention. We do so little on that side. We do it, but I'm sure you have to remind people this too. I have to remind the Benton County commissioners that Albany is the second largest city in Benton County, and they tend to forget that. So, I think both programs are good. There's a new district attorney also on that side in Ryan Joslin, much more true to the law and less political than his predecessor. So nobody can be Doug Martini, but Brian's pretty good. End of report, unless there's question.
Okay. Then Chief LaBelle, you're on.
So I'll save some comments for the end, but I'll quickly go through our report here. So looking at total responses, as Marcia said, we are extremely busy too. So if you take a look at August, there are 1,118 calls. We had a day, it was the 29th of August, we had 55 calls in a 24-hour shift.
Holy
so God. We relied on mutual aid from Corvallis and Lavender to come in and run medical calls for us while that was going on. Fiscal year 24, as far as total calls, pretty much right on par with where we were before. Fire and life safety evaluations. I will point out, I sound like a broken record, but looking at fiscal year 24 compared to fiscal year 21, that is largely due to we had budget cuts, we lost a few of our deputy fire marshals. It is in our strategic plan to try to get those positions back, but we all know how budgets go. Although our mission statement starts with prevention, unfortunately, that's usually the first place that gets cut and money goes to operations because we need ambulances and fire trucks on the street. So, but our life safety division does a heck of a job at just to maintain what we currently have and when we see growth in the city, plan review, just getting into new businesses is definitely an area that we need to address in the future. Response times look really good. Especially for how busy we were July and August. I think that a lot of the help there with seeing that reduced number is having our single role medic 10 staff down here during the day. And I will point out that that is also our kind of goal in the next biennium, is to try to get that ambulance to a 24/7 medic unit. There's just so many benefits to having that, not just for EMS response, but it also keeps a fire engine available in North Albany. So at nighttime, 9,000 people up there, everybody's home from work, and there's potential for a fire. We certainly want that fire engine staff, but the way it is now, two ambulances up there. When this ambulance goes off duty at 7 at night, the downtown core is protected by an ambulance up there, which leaves only two people, and we no longer have fire protection going on. So we'll see how the budget goes, but we certainly want to try to get that ambulance staffed full time. Community paramedic activity, pretty much the same. Hillary does an amazing job. She's out there working in the community with folks that need additional help, but she's also super involved with the houselessness and some of the other activities that are going on. So she does a great job managing your time and trying to take a little bit of the heat off of the crews, trying to be proactive and get out and see some of these folks that are repeat callers to get them the proper help that they need, so it's not constantly calling 911. So she does a great job there. On the backside here, so far, just looking at the top 25 responses, no surprises there. Those are always our big hitters. Do you have a backside? I came prepared.
Here you go.
Oh.
Anybody else?
So as I said, the top 25 responses, always kind of the same one: sick person, falls, lift assist, concurrent calls for service. This is one that we always track. You can see 2, 3, 4 calls all occurring at the same time. So that's something that we definitely want to track. And then you kind of look at that, the heat map there. And so you can see where we really target that peak activity time. The red is where we're the busiest, but we definitely want that coverage because it does add so much more capacity to our response. So some things going on in the department. I don't have as good news as Chief Martin about vacancies. We still have 6 vacancies right now, even though we have 5 people in the academy. And then we also have a vacancy in single role. It's tough to get out. That's right. So we have an upcoming process. We're interviewing 8 people for 6 spots. So that's the challenge. Lots of departments hiring. It's a limited amount of applicants out there. Let's see how it goes. So our overtime is through the roof. Our crews are doing an amazing job stepping up and doing what they need to. But I had concern this summer that we're going to bring people out, and unfortunately, we have people that are working insane amount of hours. But this recruit academy that's currently going will be done in November, so we'll get them online, as well as we have a couple of people that are out of injury that will be back next month or two. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. We got a new water tender through OSFM. That will be in service really soon. That was a grant. So basically, we pay nothing, just maintain it. Right now, we're putting equipment on it and getting people trained up. We'll be in service here in just a couple of weeks. So that's a great addition to our fleet. Coming up here, I'll pass these out. We're doing something a little different. We used to do the treasure hunt every year. We're going to do an open house, but we've really seen a reduction in the number of people that can come on a Saturday and try to hit all the different stations and go to Tangent and APE. So we're going to try this and just do a one day in the afternoon on a Sunday. So hopefully after people leave church, they'll come visit us. We'll have lots of great activities. We're just doing it here at Station 11. And we'll see how this goes. So hopefully we start to draw a bigger crowd than we have in the last couple of years. Saturdays, soccer, football, college students, it's just tough to compete with that. So hopefully we'll catch some folks getting out of church and we'll start to draw a few more people.
Cool.
And then the last thing I had, this is super exciting for our department. We are building a new training facility. So we got council approval to start this project. Train Chief Scott Callahan kind of spearheaded this whole thing, did an amazing job for us. We hired a firm out of Newington that's going to do the construction on this. We've already started the conversation of what it looks like. We potentially were told it would be constructed and done in December of 2025, but now we're hearing it could be done as soon as July. So it's like a fabrication. It looks like Comex boxes that are all put together. It's Draeger's, the company that builds these. Lebanon Fire has something very similar. So this is huge for our department. I shared at City Council that I have documents dating back to the late 70s when some of the assistant chiefs back then identified, wrote a memo to the current chief that not only there was a need for a training facility, but outlined that it should be at Fire Station 12, which is where it's going. So what a vision by those gentlemen back then. But the first thing that needed to happen was the city buses needed to move out of that portion. They used to run out of the bus barn area there at Station 12. Once they got a new site, we were able to kind of take that over. And so we'll be able to build this as well as use the old bus facility for classrooms and some different things. So super, super excited about that. Kind of a game changer for us, especially as we have so many new people, all these recruit academies, huge for our department.
Do you think that will affect recruitment?
Good question. I don't know. I hope so. You know, I think right now we're just at a unique moment in time where we are just so many retirements, and we're still playing catch up from COVID. There was a limited amount of paramedic classes, and so there was a shortage for a while. But when those classes are starting to get full again, we're starting to see better numbers. So I think there's just a little lag right now, and hopefully within the next 3 years, we'll start to see the job market turn around a little bit.
Will this be something that is in the information of this coming? Will this be something in materials online that potential recruits can access?
Oh, absolutely. Well, that is one thing. That's one of our goals, too, is APD does an amazing job. Corvallis Fire does it. We need to improve our brand. We need to sell our product. We need to do a better, have better presence on social media and try to get people excited about coming to work here. So there's some things that we can do internally, but right now there's just so many vacancies. And like I said, so many places hiring. That may draw one or two people, but like I said, it's just we need the market to turn around a little bit for fire service.
Okay.
Questions?
Yeah. What are you folks doing now for training?
Great question. Yeah, we go to Corvallis, Polk County. Yeah. So yeah, we're having to take a crew out of service or pay overtime to cover, and so we're leaving our response area to go over there and train. So it's been a blessing that those departments have allowed us to do that.
Sure.
But for a department our size, it's kind of embarrassing that, you know, we don't have a training facility. But as I say, you know, budgets and priorities and staffing always goes to the top, because as you can see, our calls for service keep going up, and the expectation of the community is that when you call 911, there's a major medic unit that shows up. So this was kind of put on the back burner for quite a while. So
that's good news.
And the good thing about this as well is it's expanded. So in the future, we can add different things. The fire service is ever changing. 10 years from now, there may be some new thing out there that, you know, we weren't expecting. And so we can add things to this. We did a little presentation for ATI to see if they were interested in potentially partnering with us or contributing. And so they're like ideas for hazmat props. No, they don't have a brigade, but they have a brigade hazmat team that's
Just sort of internal
information.
And I presume this was spec based on the things that your operation.
Chief Cowan kind of looked at the things that we have to go to Polk, have to go to CFP for. We can do truck ops, rappel office. We won't do live fire at this, but we do have containers out at Station 12 that we can do live fire in, but we just don't want to damage this building. But we can do the face smoke and all that type of stuff. This, I mean, really endless options of what you can do in this building. We make it available to PD as well if they want to do SWAT training or anything else.
That's great.
And would Lebanon Tangent or anybody use this? Or do they have
potentially to... Tangent, but they kind of have their own facility, but Lebanon is well. But we would certainly open this up to anybody on the outside to, and that is another one of our goals. High risk, low frequency to start trading more with a mutual aid partner. So we can certainly have something out there and do, you know, multi-partners.
And back to your point about building the brand, this is going to sound a little pokey, but bear with me for a second. Has anybody worked with community access TV stations? Because I learned a few years ago that they are built into some budget, whether it's state or county or city or where. And they work with some high school classrooms doing media production. They have a guaranteed revenue source for things like cameras and studios. I'm not thinking that we're going to broadcast PDX, but I'm thinking that if you get people out there doing video work, production work, doing editing, right, that can feed social media folks to PIOs and show them the techniques that they use. I don't know if that's a thing or not a thing, but.
We used to, I think LB gets some of that money, and we use those kids are always looking for internships, so we use one of the videographers is for an intern. It's so the college kids, and they're like,
it's a lot of management time.
Yeah, so we, I've heard of that. We use it up north,
We did reach out. We had somebody up that was going to do like a professional video for us to show job fairs and different things. And the city, bless their heart, there was a lot of hoops to jump through for insurance and different things. And so I think it got to a point where the juice wasn't really worth the squeeze for the person. It was a lot of hoops. And so they kind of backed off. But that's still a possibility. Like our social media, their firefighters, their EMTs, it's Sandy. Mm-hmm. So they have regular jobs too. So it's one more thing to ask of them to try to do this social media stuff. And so I think maybe that's where, you know, I can show up to a larger instance, take a few photos, get to the group, and we can start to post stuff. But at least share what we're doing and let people know it's a great place to work. We're haven't won any awards in the police department, but it is an amazing place to work. We got a lot of great people there. So.
Hey.
Yeah.
Is there anything, any questions for the chief? Either or? Okay. Business from the members.
I have an additional thing. It wasn't really in a department report. For those of you who have been around the PD and that, we are losing Diana Eilers, our business manager, actually Rochelle's boss. Huge loss. I can't even explain to you how big of a loss. Good for her. She's going to the Department of Education with a much bigger raise and work remote work, which will allow her to potentially move. But it means I have to replace her just as we're coming into budget season. So if you know somebody that has budget, operational, hiring experience, the job should post tomorrow. It'll be open for 2 weeks. And so if you know somebody in the public sector period, I don't even have to be public safety, just something that's really, we'll never replace Diana. She's irreplaceable, but just looking for somebody that can do multiple and probably gel well with the law enforcement culture. So it's well-paying job. We fought really hard to get those positions elevated, and then we lose her. So. They do deserve.
Okay, the next meeting is Wednesday, December 4th.
Here, you can come in if I
say it won't be here, it'll actually be at the PD.
Okay,
that's for that. There's use as well.
Nick, did you have any questions?
Chief Harden, you had talked about
questions for me.
Okay, yes, could you hear? Okay.
No, actually, great question. Thanks for the reminder. So Queen and Gary, the equipment there has been upgraded to both radar and red light. That goes online November 1st for a 30-day warning period.
Mm-hmm.
So Captain Pierce has been working on, in front of our community academy last night, came up, showed them a bunch of videos and said, hey, what questions would you want to know? And we're going to put these all on the FAQ page, which will be kind of a living document. And the company's really good about doing that as well. And then sometime, I'm hoping by between November and the end of the year, Albany Road will go up online. And
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Online.
North Albany Road. And that speed and red lights will be at Thornton Lake Road, the intersection there.
Mm-hmm.
And there, it's a little more complicated because we have to. The company has to go through and enter the schedules for every week in the year, because between the hours of 8 and 4, we're going to lower the enforcement speed down to 20 miles an hour, or 31 is where you get a ticket. And then any other time of day, it has to go back up. So that has to be programmed into those lights. And then we have to also, if there's a in service day or snow day, we have to be able to adjust those. Mm-hmm. Or what we won't do, probably if we can't adjust them, we just want to issue tickets for a certain amount. So we do have one of our traffic positions filled, the DUI grant position. We just got awarded that grant. That'll be another traffic officer coming on. And then we have a budgeted third. We just never gotten patrol up to enough staffing. So hopefully next year we get that done. But that revenue, that's a big question. Where's that money go? After the courts and everybody takes their fair share, the money will be set aside by finance. And the best way to describe it is a special account. They call it something different. But and then we will look at prioritizing traffic safety projects. So those solar lights at certain crosswalks.
Mm-hmm.
So they charge, and then, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning when it's soon to be dark, they'll be flashy lights there. Those are not cheap, but they don't fall under capital improvement budget for streets. So that's where that revenue will go. If it ends up being a ton of extra work for police, you might see an FTE added down that road to process those tickets, which would be another police officer coming on. So that's a long answer to November 1st.
No, that's great.
Yeah, and the other two locations will come online, you know, in steps after that. We're slowly turning it up because we're going to go from 1,700 tickets a year to 17,000 tickets a year.
And at one time you talked about all the new locations being school zones. Is that still
true? Well, two of the four are. The other two are identified based on kind of a higher incidence of traffic. So, Geary and
Queen.
Well, Geary and Queen's the one, but there's one north of there by the no, it's about Jack and Box north of there. Santiam. Santiam. And that's come through a neighborhood, and it's 25. People are always cutting down through there at Mach 10. Yeah. So the problem with the other school zone locations is right now the way the ORS is written, those cameras have to be affixed to a signalized intersection. So our school zones are not in. We looked at 34th in a couple different spots,
yeah,
east and west. And that may be another one, but probably we're going to look at either Grand Prairie in Waverly,
mm-hmm,
or 34 and Columbus, Waverly area, that T intersection, because people just haul that down there. And you're basically in the school zone.
Yeah.
When you get down there.
I just yell at people on that. There you go. I'm not crazy. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Is there any other business to come before the committee? If not, we are adjourned. I think that's the
rule. We were to talk about the December meeting. Do we want to do food and just kind of?
Oh, some, yeah.
So it's a holiday, so yeah. We're thinking maybe just doing some light finger food and.
Yeah, since it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
How does anybody feel about that, or do you want to think about it and let us
know? I for my budget, can chip in some at least light snacks and stuff like that. But if anyone wants to bring a dish or I get more of a potluck,
yeah,
that'd be good.
I think it'd be nice to do something all together besides the meetings. get to know each other on a different level.
Will we have a new member by then?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not until maybe February. Okay. That's what we're looking at.
So Pat Kidd is no longer with us on her health just took care of a little bit. So, and then as you know, we have three new counselors potentially coming on.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And I wanted to report real quickly on the dinner that we had last week. That was put by the city for all the commissioners and the staffing chairs. It was lovely. And it was really fun to hear about some of the other departments and what they do and the other commissions. So I was kind of surprised that there wasn't a higher attendance, but at the same time, you know.
For the first one, I don't think it was bad.
It wasn't. And hopefully we're going to get around, so the next time they have one, you know, more people will come. But it was really very nice. Okay, if there's nothing further, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
I think that sets the record for the shortest meeting.
Good job. Good
night, all.
Thank you, Dave.
Oh.
Yeah, so you're like, yeah, okay, we're done.